We are doing a special class in honor of Bein HaZmanim, and if you go online under the special classes section in TorahForMe.org, you'll see quite a few Bein HaZmanim pep talk and all kinds of classes in honor of Bein HaZmanim. This one's going to be pretty short. I want to touch on a few points. The Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avot, Shiva Dvarim Begolem V'Shiva Bechacham. There are seven attributes of a person who has not yet taken shape the way he should, and seven in a wise man who has taken shape the way he should. And we'll continue the Mishnah in a second. When you guys leave yeshiva, you've just been ordained rabbi. Whether you like it or not, you're going back to your communities, and as far as your parents are concerned, and as far as your friends are concerned, and as far as the community is concerned, you've been in yeshiva, so you're in the know. And when people consider you in the know, you have certain responsibilities. On the one hand, you got to be careful. Like one guy once asked me, he said, I'm a madrich in Bnei Akiva. What am I supposed to tell my chanichim when they see me without a kippah? So I couldn't tell them this, but the truth is, don't go around without a kippah. What do you mean? You're a madrich. If you're telling them they should wear a kippah all day, so why are you asking me what should you tell them? You can't do that. It's not right. Don't be a madrich. But if you're a madrich and you're preaching that, then you can't preach something you don't keep. We shouldn't be hypocrites. So on the one hand, you guys do have a certain responsibility because you're viewed as the from guys. Even if on your own you might allow yourself leeway in certain areas, you have to be careful not to do that where you're going to be with other people. That's your responsibility. You don't have a choice. On the other hand, you're not rabbis yet. Mizrat Hashem, I wish you each to get there, but you're not yet there. So you have to be honest. And in order to be honest, I want us to review the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot. There are seven attributes of a wise man. Chacham eno medaber b'fnei mishu gadol mimenu b'chochma v'minyan. A wise man does not speak before someone who's greater than him in wisdom or in age. So if there's someone older there and he's talking, one of the things we have is respect. Sometimes the person's talking utter nonsense, and we feel like, wait a second, that's not what it says in the Torah. But is it critical? Is there any reason we should correct him? Is there any reason we should be disrespectful? A wise man does not speak before someone who's greater than him, either in wisdom or in age. So there's no reason to enter fights if we don't have to. Nor does he interrupt his fellow men. All too often people come out of yeshiva and they feel like, I've learned, so he's wrong. I'll tell him he's wrong. And he's not too quick to respond. Shoel kainyan, he questions kainyan according to the topic. Umeshiv kalacha, and he answers na'alacha. Vomer al rishon rishon, v'alachon achoron. The first thing that he's asked, he answers first, and the last thing he answers last. And most importantly, val ma shelo shama omer lo shamati. What'd you say? And when he didn't hear something, he says, I didn't hear. All too often people leave yeshiva, and then they come to the community and they ask them questions, and they don't know. Questions in philosophy, questions in halacha, questions about religion. Very often people feel like, I could enter a philosophical debate because I learned in yeshiva. Wrong. I learned in yeshiva, I don't enter philosophical debates. Why should you? The rabbi said we shouldn't. So we all have to take that to heart. There's no point in entering them. And when we don't know, we should say we don't know. And he admits to the truth. If people come to him and say, I don't understand. How could David do that with Bathsheba? You haven't yet learned how he could do that. So say, I didn't learn. I don't know. It's a good question. How many times do I tell people it's a good question? I don't have the answer to that right now. I haven't learned everything yet. There are a lot of questions I don't have answers to. Very often I say, I don't know. You guys, you're coming back. On the one hand, you're responsible to live up to the things that people expect of a Torah Jew, and that people should expect of a Torah Jew. On the other hand, you're not the chief rabbis. They ask you questions. You don't know. Say you don't know. There's nothing to be embarrassed about that. You don't have to have all the answers. V'chilufen begolem. The Mishnah concludes very gently and says, these are the attributes of a wise man, and the exact opposite is a person who's hasn't yet taken proper form. So we have to remember that anava, modesty, is really synonymous with honesty. Pride is synonymous with falsehood. Why is a person proud? What does he have to be proud of? 99% of what we have was God-given. We were born in this society. We were born with these parents. We were given this education. How much could we take credit? We were given these strengths. A person says, look at how much I invest in my learning. Great. Who gave you that strength? Who gave you that intellect? So the guy next door was given an IQ of 50. Is it his fault? And you were given an IQ of 150. Have you really used your potential? How much of what we have can we take credit for? The truth is very little. Anava is really just an equation with honesty, and we know that a person is not allowed to take pride in something that's not his. God says, what are you being proud for? Pride is something only I could have, God says. No human being has a right to be proud, to be haughty. But what is God's signet ring? What is God's seal with? Emet. Aleph, Mem, Tav. First letter of the Aleph Beis, last letter of the Aleph Beis, middle letter of the Aleph Beis. Emet. Truth is God's signature. And when we are modest, that is the one cloak of God that we could wear. And it fits us. We should be modest. That is the honesty, that is the truth that we should have. So no one's going to hold it against you if you say, I don't know. And if you avoid a discussion because you don't know the answer. Chazal tell us that one of the ways a person's measured, you want to know what type of person he is, go see Ma Habriot Omrim Alav. What do people say about the person? A person is supposed to be Ahuv Lemata, well-liked down below. So a person shouldn't say, well, I learned it's not supposed to be this way. I don't eat that kashrus. A person doesn't have to be brazen in his frumkeit. A person should try to be gentle. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. When we could avoid conflict, we should try. Keter Shem Tov, remember the crown of a good name, goes on top of all the other crowns. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us, Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Yehuda ben Tema says, Hevei az kanamer. Be brazen like a leopard. Etc. The tour, when he begins his halachic work, he begins with that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Be brazen like a leopard. The Shulchan Aruch leaves that sentence out. Why does the Shulchan Aruch leave it out? So all the commentaries bring it in. The Shulchan Aruch left it out because the Shulchan Aruch said brazenness is a trait that more often than not is problematic. In Judaism, we're not looking to be brazen. Sometimes we must be. Someone's going to make fun of me. Oh, you're starting to wear tzitzis. You're becoming from on me. Then, if you could avoid the discussion, you avoid it. And if not, you say, buddy, it says in the Torah, put on tzitzis on your four corners. You want, I'll show it to you inside. Open up the Parsha Shlach. You don't do it. The question is on you, not on me. Sometimes you do have to answer. Like the guy who stopped me on a plane and says, where'd you get this idea from to put on those phylacteries? So I said, the Bible. He said, where in the Bible? I said, if you want, I'll show it to you inside. We opened the Bible, I showed it to him inside. Oh. But first he yells at me in front of the whole plane, where'd you get this idea from? Okay, you yelled at me in front of the whole plane, so I'll answer you. I'm not going to let you put down what everyone here is doing, but we try to avoid conflict. The Shulchan Aruch left out the Evei Az Kanamer. Not that he disagreed with it, but we have to remember it's something that's left in the back. It's only to be used when we must. We're not looking to be brazen. Now, one of the things that might prove difficult when you leave Machon Meir is to be happy in the performance of mitzvot. In Machon Meir, when you keep Shabbos, so you have the singing, you have your friends, you have the atmosphere. You leave Machon Meir, you're not going to the shul you necessarily enjoy being in. You're not going to the atmosphere you necessarily enjoy being in. And suddenly, all the mitzvot could feel very weighty. Suddenly, Shabbos is about knots. Not turning on the light, not taking your cell phone, not going in the car. Shabbos becomes a different Shabbos than in Machon Meir. And we have to stop and think how to suffuse our mitzvot with happiness. One has to be happy in performance of mitzvot. We have to perform the mitzvot whether we're happy or not. But we also have to invest thought into how to perform the mitzvot so that we're happy. So we had a group of guys that came to us for 2 weeks. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, I don't remember. They came for a short period in the summer. And they learned Karl Bach Davening. And then they went to the army. And these guys didn't know what Shabbos was about. But in the 4 weeks they were here, they learned Karl Bach Davening. So they come to the base, and it's Friday night. And all the guys are going to smoke and rest and call on their cell phones. And they say, guys, it's Friday night. Don't you daven Friday night? These were all guys who came to volunteer from Chutz L'Eretz. So soldiers say, da what? What are you talking about? So they said, we'll show you. Come. So they brought all the other soldiers. These guys weren't from either. They didn't know anything about what davening was. They came, they started Kalmbach davening, singing and dancing. The whole base looked different. So they weren't singular. They weren't one. They were a group of about 15, 20 guys. But they had all learned together what Kalmbach davening was. So they sang and they danced, and davening took an hour. And the soldiers, afterwards, the next day, they said, hey, could you show me how you put on those things? So they had learned how to put on tefillin, and they showed the other soldiers. So he had one pulling the other, and they changed what the base looked like. You guys are going into no man's land. You don't have a group with you. Maybe you have another guy with you, another two guys with you. But you still have to think how to suffuse the performance of mitzvot with happiness. When I was alone, there were periods where I didn't have a minyan, and I didn't have the shul I wanted. I davened in an old age home, a minyan that in a half hour Shabbos morning finished all of davening with leining. Meaning you showed up for a baruch hu, they brought in a bunch of old men, you had baruch hu, Shemona Esrei was about 5 minutes later, no one else was really davening. 5 minutes later was leining, 5 minutes leining took 15 minutes, 20 minutes, another 5 minutes musaf, finished. All of davening was about 35 minutes Shabbos morning. Start to finish. Everyone showed up for the kiddush afterwards. So what did I do? That was my Shabbos davening. I didn't have anything else. So I took Sfarim that I really enjoyed. I'd go up to the farm I was in, and I'd sing Shabbos songs to myself, and I'd learn. That's when I learned Drashos Aran for the first time. Those of you who come Friday morning, you know what a beautiful sefer that is. That was my Onik Shabbos, Drashos Aran. Shabbos morning, my Onik Shabbos was the Medrash Tanchuma. That's what I had. So if you're in a location where you don't have the things that you would that would make you happy spiritually, I'd get a good Shabbos kugel. I'd get good get things that will make the Shabbos beautiful. Special, beautiful, long candles. You put in the atmosphere. If you'll be a glowing light, things around you will glow as well. Chazal always told us that one should try to find a good friend. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked the students, what is a good trait a person should search for in the world? One of them said, Chaver Tov, a good friend. That's the path to a good life. He asked them, how do you be a good Jew? Tell me, what's the path? One of his students comes back and says, Chaver Tov, a good friend. So there are two understandings in that. One understanding is, be a good friend. If you'll be a good friend, that's a good path in life. Know how to be a good friend. Another understanding is the simple understanding. Find a good friend. Guys, in life, you have one good friend, you have a lot. You have to try and find a good friend. If you can find one where you're at, that's great. If you can't, so find one elsewhere. And just like a good friend could make all the difference in the world in pulling us up, the same goes with the other side. A bad friend could pull a person all the way down. Our sages tell us that one is affected by his surroundings. Even the prophets were affected. Everyone's affected. No one could avoid it. Chazal say, surroundings are like a shop. You walk into a perfume shop, you walk out smelling like perfume. You walk into a stinky tannery, a person walks out stinking. There's no two ways about it. I don't know if you guys ever visited a cheese factory, or if you guys come to the burning matzahs. I come from a fifth generation cheese manufacturer, right? So you walk into a cheese factory, believe me, after a few hours you walk out smelling like cheese. Everyone knows you were there. There are things that affect us. Chazal said that's what friends are like. The people that we spend time with ultimately will smell like them. So we have to try and choose a good group as best as we can. Chazal even said that when we had the Soto, the woman who was suspected for being unfaithful to her husband, the priest who would take care of the procession would begin and he'd tell her, lady, look, harbe shchenim ra'im osim. A lot can happen if you have bad neighbors. They could pull you down all the way to adultery, something that one should rather give up their life than performing. Even that could happen just because one's neighbor isn't such a positive character. So a person has to try and try as best as he can to at least surround himself with good friends. I have friends and I have chavrutot who I'm friendly with just because I hope their traits will rub off on me. I find that the best way to acquire a good trait is find someone who has it and be friendly with them. Learning all the books in the world, to me, has never been as worthwhile as having a friend who had a good trait. When I saw it, then I could emulate it. If you behave like you have it, ultimately you do gain it. Now, just like you need a chaver tov, you also need a chav tov. person doesn't necessarily connect with every rabbi. Chazal said that. And so a person has to try and find a rabbi. If it's long distance, that's okay. If it's close by, that's the best. If you could have a rabbi where you're at, who you could ask your shaylos to, who you could talk to, that's ideal. If you could have a chavrusa, very often people go back home ben hazmanim and they say, I'll learn in the morning after davening, I'll learn a little bit here, a little bit there. They have all kinds of plans. Take it from an old man. Believe me, guys, if you have a chavrusa, even if it's by phone, you'll end up learning. If you don't have a chavrusa, then I wish you should end up learning. It's very hard. Your mother needs someone to do the shopping, this needs to get done, that needs to get done. A chavrusa, even if he knows less than you, even if you have to read the script to him, he doesn't know what you're talking about. At the end of the day, with a chavrusa, you will learn. Without a chavrusa, it's questionable. Davening tefillah b'tzibur. Very often that's one of the issues that people have a hard time with. If it's possible, guys, you should really try to do it. Your lives will look different. Even if after you daven b'tzibur, you have to chop a nap, get some sleep, believe me, your lives will look different. It's worth the extra effort. And also think about what your parents think. When you come home and you bum out and you get up at 10 o'clock in the morning, what are they thinking? So I always feel like the key to waking up on time is going to sleep on time. And the key to going to sleep on time is recognizing that the clock is ticking. At night, we feel like it's a free-for-all. It's free time. We can do what we want. And it's not that way. You stay up late, you're going to have a hard time getting up early. There's no two ways about it. I recommend that a person, when he leaves yeshiva, especially for a break, take upon himself a certain small thing. For example, take upon yourself saying one chapter Tehillim every day. Say Tehillim for someone. I could give you a list of catastrophes that have just occurred. People who really have it tough right now. You want someone to daven for? I'll give you someone to daven for. Every person should think and try to take one thing to move up. Because in life, if we ain't going up, we're going down. There's no status quo. So you're going out for the break. Try to think what you could do to help someone. Ma'asim tovim. And Tehillim could be a part of that. We have a rule, shlichei mitzvah inan nizokin. When a person is a messenger to perform a mitzvah, then God prevents harm from coming his way. A person should always try to be a shaliach mitzvah. Whatever we do, we have to try and find the chesed, the kindness that we could do within what we're doing. A guy once came to me and said to me, how could you do chesed in yeshiva? We're here all day, what chesed could you do? I don't buy that. You, in every situation, if you only look at what the next guy needs, you could do chesed. You get your own lunch, you get lunch for the guy who's sick in bed. You came to Beis Medrash and there's someone there, you smile at him. The Chazal said, Ulven shinay mechalav. One who whitens his teeth, he gives a smile to someone else, it's more than either if he gave him to eat and drink. That just giving a warm smile to someone gives him more strength than feeding him. I want to conclude with 2 points. One is, Chazal tell us, Rabim chalalim ipila va'atsumim kol harugea. The way of the prostitute is that she's killed many, and all those that she killed were brave people. They weren't little people. Va'atsumim kol harugea. Gentlemen, we live in a world where the prostitutes aren't just hanging around the corners, they're hanging in our living room. I had an unfortunate experience today. I always check where guys are coming from. Like I have the stats to the website. So I see a new search engine. So I wanted to see like where I'm listed, how I'm listed. I click on the search engine and I see the search engine is a search engine just for pornography. So I don't know how my site shows up there. But I asked myself, wait a second. So someone's listening to my shiurim who came off of that search engine. I see where guys came from. I don't know. Could be. Oh. Could be that's why. I don't know. But it struck me a little bit that means someone found my site through theirs. I'm happy they found my site, not other things, but I don't know what they were doing there. But the truth is that we're human. And Chazal said, if a father takes his son, cleans him up, makes him look all nice, puts a wallet in his hand, puts him in a brothel, ma yasa ben velo yichta. What can you expect from a kid? He's standing there, you set him up for sin, you give him the money, you put him in the brothel, now what do you expect him to do? He's human. A place where there are women for hire. We live in a world where you just turn on the computer, whether you like it or not, you're getting pop-up ads and you're getting invitations, and you could do the most innocent thing and you'll get invitations. Take it from an innocent guy. I'm surprised at the brazenness of these sites. The temptation is there, and that's normal. But then Chachamin Av Birosho, an intelligent person, has to think in advance how to avoid it. And the avoidance could be like one guy here does, not going online during the week, getting his emails. I don't even go online. I get my emails through Outlook. I rarely go online. I just have an email server, and I get most of my... what do I need online? I need the internet. I need the email. So fine. You don't have to go online for that today. You could get it all through your cell phone, someone told me. So, okay. What's wrong with that? That's a good way to do it. But it's not only online. Most of the guys leaving now for Ben Azmanim have old girlfriends and girls that know them. And guys, that's life. And you know what? It's time to contend with it, because later on they keep coming back. I don't want you guys to be those that call me up and say, you know, I'm married and my girlfriends know I'm married and they're not leaving me alone. And I'm going to end the quotation there. But the stories don't always end there. There comes a point in one's life when one has to let the people who were in his life know that he's moved on. And he doesn't want to hurt their feelings, but he's in a different place now. There does come that point in life. And you know what? Chazal warned us. Atzumim kol harugeh. She didn't kill little people. She killed great people. And you know what? That could be anyone. It's not an easy temptation. I want to conclude with the concept that the Navi told us. The Jewish people say to their enemy, Al tismichi oyavti li. Don't rejoice, my enemy. Ki nafalti, for I've fallen. Don't you rejoice, for I've fallen. Ki nafalti, says the Navi, kamti, I've gotten back up. Chazal instituted after every Ben Azmanim, there's Behab. We take a Monday, Thursday, Monday to fast and say special slichos, asking Hashem for forgiveness over what the Jewish people have done over this Ben Azmanim. Seems like Ben Azmanim has been problematic from the time of Chazal already, from the time of the Gemara. That's no excuse. We shouldn't be those falling. We should be those picking up. But if for whatever reason a person did find himself falling, Sheva yipol tzadik vakam. Don't let the Yetzer Hara knock you to the ground. A tzadik is not someone who doesn't fall. A tzadik is someone who gets back up after he fell. David HaMelech also fell. Part of growing is falling. Chazal say, En adam omed al divrei Torah ad shenichshal bahim. A person can't stand on the words of Torah till he first falls over them. You have to stumble in Torah before you stand straight. Anyone who didn't stumble doesn't stand. A woman doesn't give birth before she has birth pangs. Growth comes out of falling. Now, I don't want you guys to fall, Ben Azmanim. I don't want me to fall either. Hashem should bless us all. We should succeed in growing this Ben Azmanim and continue growing, coming back next month stronger. I recommend you guys set up Chavrutot. I'm going to be around and I'm going to be happy to learn with whoever wants to. Just be in touch and Ms. Hashem will set up times. Those of you who are in Chutz Laaretz, you're welcome to set up Skype learning with one another. And if you actually want it with me, so we'll try to find time for that as well. But there's no reason you have to learn with me. You could learn with one another, with your friends, with your family members. But learn and keep growing. Remember, in life, if you ain't going up, you're going down. So you have to take a break. You have to rest, and that's very, 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 very important. I'm not going to say you shouldn't rest. I'm just saying interject growth into that break. So, Laila Tov.